In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
It's time to talk movies. We do it every Monday with Alan Adams from The Main Edge. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Hi there, Al.
Hello, how are you?
Delightful, thank you. How's your day so far?
Oh, pretty good. Can't complain.
You in the office a lot today?
Yeah, no, I spent some time in the office. Yeah, no, I'm back on foot. Well, because we were cat sitting and car sitting for my in-laws.
Oh, is that over now?
Yep. They're back in the States, and they got back to Cherryfield last night, and then today Gordon, my father-in-law, came to pick up the cats and take them home.
Stella sad to see her feline friends.
I think she was a little bit like, I don't know that it had really set in by the time that I took off to go to work, but I have a hunch that we're gonna get home and we're gonna have a kind of sad dog.
Well, she got used to them.
Yeah, no, I think we all did. Like, it was you know, it's one of those things where, like, and I'm actually fairly allergic to cats. Mm. But you know, after the first couple of days, you kind of settle in, and it's fine. And it was nice to have you know, other little creatures floating around the house.
Yeah, absolutely. And your weekend went well?
Yeah, no, it was good. We wound up actually taking a trip down to Freeport on Sunday, because we picked up Gordon and Cynthia there. They had taken the train from New York up to Freeport, and they had stayed the night before at my sister-in-law Casey's place, and we drove down to pick them up, and then brought them back here. They made their way to Cherryfield, and I'm sure they are very thrilled to be home again after their European / transatlantic journey.
That's a long trip.
That's a real long trip. The part at the end where you're crossing the Atlantic on a cruise ship, that's the part where it's just like, I don't know that you could pay me enough. Because after about the third day, when it's like, when it really dawns on you that it's, oh yeah, no, there's literally nothing but thousands of miles of ocean in every direction. It's like, yeah, no, I'm gonna stick close to home. Thank
it's
you
a lot of
much.
Water.
It's a lot of water.
Yeah. When I went to Hawaii years ago, 30 years ago now, it was great. It's paradise. But after about a week, I became very conscious that I'm on a little rock in the middle of thousands of miles of ocean.
Yeah, there's just not. You're really kind of all alone, and it's that as a social creature. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I hate people. Like, that's kind of my thing. But I like having them nearby to hate.
Well, right. You like knowing they're there,
exactly.
Just in case.
Yeah, you never know. You never know
completely. Well, in all of this, you still managed to get to the movies this weekend. You saw two.
I did.
Where do we begin?
Well, we'll start with the easy one. We'll start with Kingsman: The Golden Circle, the sequel to the sort of surprise success that was Kingsman: The Secret Service from a couple of years ago. Both based on a comic book series by Dave Gibbons and Mark Millar. This one sees there's Eggsy, who played by Taron Egerton, who's our sort of main character. Still doing Kingsman super spy business, you know, for all he's worth, you know, still part of the, you know, the organization. They still have the round table and all that stuff. They have their knights, you know, their Knights of the Round Table code names. He's Galahad and all that. But as tends to happen, in these sorts of things, someone, has it out for Kingsman.
Mm.
It turns out to be Julianne Moore, playing a woman named Poppy, who just happens to be the most prominent drug kingpin in the entire world. But her concern is she is the most successful female entrepreneur in history, and yet no one knows who she is. And so she decides to put into motion a plan that will alleviate that, namely by spiking her supply with some sort of never really explained stuff that gives people this blue rash, and then and then causes them to get manic and then get paralyzed and then basically die. So and then and she also has an antidote where she's going to have that delivered if the president of the United States signs off on making all drugs legal.
Oh, well, there.
And in the process of doing that, she also, you know, brings in her lackeys to essentially destroy the entire infrastructure of Kingsman, leaving only Eggsy and tech wizard Merlin, played by Mark Strong, to pick up the pieces. They wind up initiating what is known as the Doomsday Protocol, which is nothing more than a bottle of whiskey. but it's the whiskey is made by a company called Statesman. You could probably guess where this is going. They make their way to Kentucky to discover that Statesman, the distillery, is actually a front for the American version of Kingsman. Featuring such notables as Loose Cannon Tequila, played by Channing Tatum.
Okay.
There's the rough and ready ace agent Whiskey, played by one of the dudes from Narcos. and then there's Ginger Ale, who is their tech guru, played by Halle Berry. And the whole shoot match is run by Champagne or Champ, played by, of course, Jeff Bridges.
Well, there. That's a pretty good crew.
It's a really good crew. And so they have to figure out where Poppy is. It turns out she's built some sort of weird 50s theme park in the middle of some jungle ruins in South America, because that's what, you know, villains do. Where she lives and is, you know, rules her her henchmen with an iron fist, and also has a daily personal concerts performed by Elton John, played by Elton John.
Really?
Who has an extended cameo in this movie, and that's all I'm going to say about it, except that Elton John is awesome. Elton John is awesome in this movie. Look, it's a fun movie. Like, there's some great action stuff. You know, there's a very tongue-in-cheek vibe to the whole thing. That's a lot of fun. I don't think it's quite as successful as the first one, but I think the first one, it's solely because it doesn't have that element of surprise, because I think a lot of people going into that first movie didn't really know what they were getting into. And so they arrive, at this one with a very clear sense of what it is that they're about to experience. And so I think, you know, diminishing returns a little bit, but it's still pretty solid. And they managed to retcon it, so Colin Firth is back. So we get to watch Mr. Darcy kick some more ass, which is nice.
Well, I didn't see the first one, but the trailer for this just it looks smart and funny.
It's a hoot. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's sharp. It doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, it's Bond cranked up to 11 in a lot of ways. You know, and I think it works.
All right. How about friend request?
Oh, Jesus, Rich. look, you know, it's the Hollywood landscape has shifted pretty significantly in the last 15 years. And it's become, you know, a lot of I refer to it. It's also a very notable fantasy sports strategy. The stars and scrubs model.
Yes.
You know, and so it's like you've got all these like these huge budget, like mega blockbusters, tent poles, franchise, you know, extensions, that sort of thing.
So you're saying then that friend request is essentially $1 roster filler?
Yes, that's exactly it. And the thing about it is sometimes this the $1 roster filler becomes far more successful than you anticipate. And that's what a lot of these, especially these horror movies, have kind of become. They have very low budgets. They don't spend a lot of money on, you know, on marketing or you know, getting big stars or any of that stuff, and so they don't spend a lot, so they don't have to bring in a lot for it to be a very profitable experience. They also don't need to be very good, and that's where we come down on friend request. Friend request is basically an effort to reinvent the sort of baseline campy 80s teen horror flick for the 21st century. You've got a bunch of kids, college kids, you know, they're sophomores and juniors, although they're playing sophomores and juniors. They've got that 90210 syndrome where everybody's about 10 years too old for the part that they're playing. But they're in college, and you've got this girl Laura, who's the popular girl, and everybody likes her. She's got a med student boyfriend, and you know, roommates, and all sorts of like, and her social media presence is alive and thriving and whatever. And she meets this weird girl named Narina in her. Well, you know, I don't even remember what class it is. So I mean, that tells you everything. I don't think they ever tell us what class it is. It's just class, because you know, we can't be bothered in a movie like Friend Request. Anyway, this weird loner girl approaches her and wants to be friends, and so they wind up becoming friends on totally not Facebook. Wink, wink. and it's, you know, it's fine for a while, but then it's, you know, this weird girl starts getting super clingy and sending all kinds of weird pictures and videos and all that stuff. And Laura says, you know, I can't handle this. There's a confrontation in the cafeteria, and then she unfriends her, and that's when things start to go awry. turns out, Narina was not the most stable young lady. And winds up doing herself in. Oh. And I don't mean to be flip about that, because in this kind of movie, like, you know, she's not gone for long. And it turns out that she's, I don't know, a demon or a witch or some such nonsense. I don't really know. But she basically takes over Laura's social media account and says, I'm going to show you what it means to be lonely. And then starts basically, you know, offing all of her friends using the magic powers of... Black Mirrors. So it's basically like, it's like, oh yeah, you remember that that anthology show that's really good and critically acclaimed and everybody loves it? Let's basically take the one idea we can glean from the title and make a movie about it. And so that's what they do. And we get to watch as Laura's friends and loved ones start falling by the wayside in increasingly ridiculous ways. There's a lot of stuff with like wasps, and that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but but honestly, none of it really makes a lot of sense. The thing that frustrates me is this is from Jason Blum and the crew at Blumhouse. They generally manage to put together a product that, if you know, it's not necessarily, you know, excellent, but at least it's entertaining. You know, and that's all I want from a movie like this. Like, sure. I'm not asking for, you know, Oscar-worthy performances or, you know, brilliant effects or anything like that. Just tell me a story that I can be entertained by. This does not do that. This is just nonsense piled onto nonsense. It's one of those movies, you know how it's, you have those movies where the narrative is super thin, but also ridiculously convoluted. And you're like, how did they even do that? But it's like 92 minutes long, and I must have checked my watch a dozen times. Oh, I'm like, please, never just be over. And the last half of the movie is the ending. So it's like there's this extended sequence where she's like trying to track things down from the past, and then there's a factory for some reason, and then one of the dudes that, you know, used to be into her all of a sudden decides he's gonna stab her for no reason. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. You know, I should spoil the entire thing, because you should not go to see Friend Request. Like, and not that telling you the ending is going to give you any satisfaction, because you're going to see it coming a million miles away. So if you've already been dumb enough to spend money to see Friend Request, you know, there's nothing I can do for you. You know, it's just like, you just want to be like, you know, to adopt the parlance of the time, delete your account, because you're spouting nonsense. You know, the only people that you're hurting are yourselves.
Wow. Wow. That's top three all time, man.
Yeah, no, bad stuff. Bad stuff.
Gary's like, I can't wait to see this now. No.
Sort of made me want to see it.
If it's that bad, I want to be able to share in the misery and tell people I've seen this god-awful movie,
yeah,
too.
It's, just to, you know, wallow in it.
Look, man, like, do what you want, but I warned you.
As for me, Alan, I say what I say so often. Thank you for seeing it so I don't have to.
It's what I'm here for, man.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge, Mondays, talking movies. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
See you again on Wednesday. Hey, while we're here, I want to mention, too, before we let you go, Friday night, big, big night. We always like to promote our focus group shows, but this one Friday, a little extra special for all of us.
Yeah, it's this is the fourth year, actually. It's kind of crazy to think about. Are the fourth year that we have done what we call the focus group Goes to the Dogs. It's basically our fundraiser for the Bangor Humane Society. We perform the Friday before Bangor BHS's Paws on Parade. It's the biggest fundraiser of the year for them. They do a Saturday in the fall where, you know, thousands upon thousands of people come together with their pets and then take a stroll around downtown to raise money, all for the wonderful work that the folks at the Humane Society do. We've been lucky enough to have our lives affected by rescue animals, and the opportunity to give back in some small way for the wonderful, wonderful work that these people do every day. It's just it warms your heart. It's one of our favorites of the year. It's we always love to get up there and make people laugh and stuff like that. But there's something to be said for doing it for a higher purpose. This Friday, September 29th, it's at the Next Generation Theater over there in Brewer. It's $10. Our shows are usually $5, but this one's $10 because, again, it's a fundraiser.
And we don't take a penny of this.
Yeah, none of that money goes to us. It's all we're going to do the show, and then we're going to hand a gigantic wad of cash to Stacy Coventry of the Bangor Humane Society, and then most of us will be out there on the 30th checking out Paws on Parade. I know Sheridan and I will be there with Stella, it's just it's wonderful to have the opportunity to do something like this every year. And so we're happy that the folks at the Humane Society continue to have us on board despite my filthy mouth and the terrible choices that I make when I go up there. So if you're interested in having a laugh and supporting just a fantastic cause, come on out and join us Friday night, 8 o'clock.
Heck of a plan. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.